Welcome to Ask the Pastor with Jim Simmons and Charles Lyons, the program that provides great Bible teaching and the opportunity to ask your questions. Our guests are some of the most fascinating Christians in cinema, writing, and various professional fields. Now, be a part of Ask the Pastor.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Jim Simmons, your co-host for Ask the Pastor Now. Tonight, we're very excited to have a talented and gifted guest who will be joining us shortly. But first, let's begin our program the right way, by going to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather tonight to study your word and to give thanks. Father, we ask for your clear direction in all that we say or do. Lord, we just want to express our love and thank you for your love to us. Give us, I pray, clear direction in the exact words you'd have us deliver. It is our desire that you would use this time to do business in our hearts and minds. You know, Lord, our every hurt, our every need, and our every fear. May we be attentive and good listeners. May we not just hear the word, but put it to use in our daily lives. It's in the name that's above all names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the pastor of Ask the Pastor Now, Dr. Charles Lyons.
Well, thank you, Jim. And this is a very special evening. Tonight we have with us Dave Cristiano, a very strong brother in Christ, a talented writer and director, who's soon to be releasing his newest film, Remember the Goal. And so without further delay, let's welcome Dave Cristiano. Dave?
Hey, Charles and Jim, thank you very much for having me on. I'm looking forward to this and appreciate it.
Excellent. We're certainly thrilled to have you with us. Now, you're actually head of 5 and 2 Pictures, is that correct?
I have a twin brother, Rich, and 5 and 2 Pictures is the distribution company name for our films. So this will be our 7th movie coming to theaters under that name.
That's wonderful. And can you tell some of our listeners who may not be as familiar with your background some of the films you've previously been a part of?
Right. My brother and I started in the Christian film industry back in 1985. We have produced 16 films. We have released 14 of them. The last 6 of them we put in movie theaters. Our first one that went to movie theaters was called Time Changer. This film came out in 2002. It was a time travel movie. And then we followed that with a movie called Unidentified, which was about UFOs. These are movies all with a Christian message, a biblical message, either for evangelism or Christian living. In 2008, we did a love story called Me and You, Us Forever. In 2009, we released a movie called The Secrets of Jonathan Sterry. That was a movie that featured Gavin McLeod. Some people may remember him from The Love Boat and Mary Tyler Moore Show. Gavin's a very strong believer in Christ. And it was about a 75-year-old man and how he influenced 3 12-year-old boys. And then in 2014, we released a movie called A Matter of Faith. That's our most recent release out there. In fact, right now it just got on Netflix. It's a movie dealing with the subject of creation versus evolution that's about a college student. So this new movie is called Remember the Goal. And it's a first and an only, Charles. You want me to explain what I mean by that?
Absolutely.
Okay. This movie's about a girls' cross-country team. And from the best I can tell in the history of films, Hollywood films, any films, nobody's ever made a movie about a girls' cross-country team. Because girls' cross-country didn't start till the mid-70s. There was a film about a boys' cross-country team made, but not girls'. And I've had this idea probably for 5 years, and my background is that I ran cross-country and track in high school. I ran cross-country in college. I've coached 2 cross-country teams. I've been following the sport for over 40 years. So for me to do a movie on cross-country, I didn't need any kind of a technical advisor. This is a sport that I know very, very well, not only just the sport from running it, but training principles. So 5 years ago when I came up with the idea for this film, it's of all the projects I've done, this probably, I would say, is my favorite because of the cross-country theme. So it's about a girls' cross-country team called Remember the Goal. And the idea is pretty simple, that a new coach, a female, fresh out of college, comes to take over a team, and the goal is to try to take the team to the state meet. They've never won the state meet. It's a private Christian school. It's a private all-girls Christian school in the script. And the basic story deals with how this coach trains her runners, how she interacts with them. The movie has multiple storylines, which we can talk about here. So that's why it's a first. And it really is the first movie ever on that topic, and as best I can tell. And then I want to say it's the only, from this standpoint, from now, here we are, late April, to the end of the year, when I look at the list of all the movies coming out of Hollywood that are coming to theaters, when I look at this list of faith-based movies coming, and there's a lot of them, from what I'm seeing, this is the only one that will present the gospel, because this movie does present the gospel. So that's that aspect of it. You know, I started in the Christian film industry. A lot of people refer to it as faith-based movies now. My brother and I don't. We produce Christ-centered films, Christian films, something that's going to have a message for Christ, either for evangelism or Christian living. The phrase faith-based really could be translated, no Jesus, no gospel, because that's really what it is. It might talk about God, might have a moral, but they're not bringing any kind of a salvation message. They're not going to shy away from mentioning the name of Jesus. So that's not the industry that we're part of. I am purposely trying to point someone to the Lord, and that's been our goal ever since we started. So that's where we're coming from. But in trying to do a movie about cross country, I'm trying to represent the sport correctly, which I did. All of my running scenes are 100% accurate. I mean, I know Jim's a runner. We were just talking about that a little bit before we started here. If somebody watches this movie, there's no fantasy to this. There's no foolishness to this. All the running scenes are right. There's 7 different running sequences in the film. And being a former runner and a coach, I made sure I did it right to represent the sport right.
Well, very good.
Interesting.
I want to go back, if I can, for just a moment on the issue of the faith-based. You know, I've encountered this also in the area of book publishing. You know, there were some years ago, if you were a Christian publisher or trying to get a book published, there was a handful of true publishers out there, and virtually none of the secular publishers would touch it. Now they have become popular, and so there again, you've got the faith-based arms. You've got a secular publishing house that will do what they call a Christian side of their industry. They'll have their own little publishing house within the house that's handling Christian books. The problem is they don't begin to know what that really means. And so they're influencing what's being written. There's things that you can't touch, and there's things they don't want to be a part of. So I see that happening once Christianity became, quote, popular, that you've now got Hollywood cranking out religious films under the label of faith-based, and there's not a lot of basis of the faith in that film. As you say, it may be a warm and fuzzy, it may be a nice little film, but it doesn't include the plan of salvation. It's not always true to the faith. It's just warm and fuzzy without the warmth and the power of the gospel. And so one of the deepest things I can say about the films that you do is I have true respect for them. They are faithful to the Word of God. They present a realistic picture. It's not a situation where all these characters aren't relatable. No, they're very relatable. And, you know, I've never had any hesitation of getting one of your new films and passing it along. I enjoy watching them myself. I use them as a tool. I share them with others, both in the same way you might use a gospel track. But it's nice to be able to invite somebody to come and sit down and watch the film with you and open a dialogue as a result of that film. In fact, ironically, just today I was on the phone with somebody, mentioned we were going to have this conversation related to them, the new film coming out, and they immediately brought up a film I had almost forgotten about, but it was one called Late One Night. And I was so surprised to find out in that there's a man on the streets that makes this opening presentation of the gospel to a stranger walking into the diner. And this person said that so touched them that they had actually committed that to memory, and then turned around and went to a group of teenagers and said, anyone who will memorize that so that they can use it as a soul-winning effort, as a way to open a conversation, you know, that they would, you know, give them some kind of small little token. So it was a motivational thing for them, which meant they had to sit down and watch the movie enough times to be able to memorize the phrase and the dialogue. So what a simple way to communicate the gospel and to teach technique.
That's awesome. You know, I want to make a comment that movies are very powerful. When you're talking about movies, in my opinion, you're probably talking about the most powerful force on the planet. And I can try to give you an example here with what I mean. First of all, you're talking about faith-based films. If you're going to make a Christian film, it would help if you were a believer in Christ, because you really do have to have a foundational theology. And my brother and I, when we first became Christians, we were grounded in a non-denominational, conservative, Bible-based theology. And, you know, first and foremost, we are concerned about the message. I don't, you know, we're not just trying to tag a message on or just, you know, throw this in there. That's not the way we think. Our whole purpose is we want to try to write the best possible script. I also am totally against the prosperity gospel. I'm not going to write films where everything works out, where all the marriages get healed, all the prayers get answered, because it's not real life. You know, I'm not saying God can't do it, but it's not real. The Christian life is a difficult road. It's a lot of trials. You wonder where God is half the time. Things don't go right. Even though I'm in the film ministry, this has been a very difficult work. It's like more things go wrong than go right. But we press on because of the message. In other words, I realize that everybody hearing our voice right now needs Christ in their life, every single person, whether this is around the world, and that's what drives me. Everybody needs Christ. That's what I know. Before they die, they need Christ in their life. So, you know, it's easy to curse the darkness, and what my brother and I are trying to do is throw biblical truth out there. And I'm not trying to manipulate anybody to Jesus. I'm not trying to talk anybody into Jesus. I'm just trying to present biblical truth, and you trust the Spirit of God to take it. So it's interesting what you said about Late One Night. That touched me there, because, you know, that film for us has done well in terms of people using it, trying to hand them out. I mean, on our website, you can get them for as low as a dollar to share, because it is an evangelical film.
You know, on a similar note, I want to thank you for one of the things you've done, which I've never heard of anybody doing. In your television series on 7th Street Theater, you broke those into individual, first in groups on a DVD, and then later individual episodes. And again, that has been a wonderful tool to use for witnessing, for sharing, to even counseling with people. You've dealt with some tough subjects. You're right. It's not the starry-eyed world, not the feel-good religion. It's honesty presented with Scripture. And so some of those tools, I think you're one of the few people I know that had anything out there on internet pornography and how it impacts believers. And, you know, it's a remarkable series. It's three seasons, correct?
Right, 7th Street Theater, right. And our website for that is 7thstreettheater.com. Actually, you can watch a couple of the episodes free. And again, I'm trying to write realism. You know, a lot of these faith-based and even some of the Christian films are trying to make God look good or make it so it all works out and it's nice and warm and fuzzy, like you said earlier, and it's just not the way it is. I mean, I don't think God's goal is for me to have a comfortable life on earth. He's trying to form Christ in us. You know, what runs through my mind is this. My brother and I think about this. Why are we doing what we're doing? What is the motive? What is the agenda? I want the motive to be Christ. I want the agenda to be Christ. You constantly check yourself on that. So why am I doing what I'm doing? And that keeps us on the right track here. And I want God, you know, we want to honor the Lord with what we're doing. I hope that some of these movies will speak to a person's heart, that it might edify them or point them toward the Lord, lead them toward the Lord. It gives real purpose. If there's a filmmaker out there listening, if you want a real purpose in life, do something for Christ. That'll give you real purpose and real satisfaction. Because entertainment always leaves an empty feeling at the end of watching something when it's over, unless there was some spiritual substance there for the Lord that can fill you. So it's a powerful force. I want to say one other thing, Charles and Jim, was this. Let me give you an example of how powerful Hollywood is. Let me just remember, I mentioned to you we've done 16 films, and remember the goal is number 15, and it's coming out August 26th. Mm-hmm. The number 16 film has already been shot. It's called Power of the Air. In fact, people know that Patty Duke passed away here not too long ago. That I have her in her last film. She's in Power of the Air. She plays a major supporting character in Power of the Air. Very nice lady. I was sad to see that she passed away. But she was interested in faith-based films, and we found out about it, and we approached her for this film. But Power of the Air deals with the power of Hollywood in the lives of Christians and the corruption that Hollywood has brought to society. And the movie is trying to get Christians to take a stand for the name of Jesus and stop attending films that curse the name of Christ, have nudity, and foul language. Just think, about 100 million people go to church every week in America. A little over 100 was the last stat I saw. Just think of all 100 million of them decided, we're not going to go any films that, we're not going to go watch any films that curse the name of Christ. I can tell you right now, Hollywood won't change because they came to Christ. They'll change because they lost so much money at the box office. That's what that movie's about, but it's coming next year. So we'll say on Remember the Goal, the cross-country movie, which has multiple storylines. I'm trying to reach teenagers. I'm trying to reach parents. And I'm also trying to reach coaches with this film. And to make one comment about that, there's one coaching principle in the film, Remember the Goal, that if coaches followed it, in my mind, would totally change college basketball coaches and how they approach their teams. Okay? College, in a cross-country movie, that to me would change college basketball. And it has to do with demeanor. And I'll just give you a little indication like this. Watch a college basketball game and find a coach that doesn't yell and scream at his players. There's very few. Very few. And, and it's like, and we're saying these are great men and leaders and great coaches. Wait a minute. Yelling and screaming, yelling and screaming. Where's, I dealt with that in my cross-country movie, that particular topic right there. So I'll go any further. I don't want to, but I try to put some substance in the film with what we did with this. So I can let me go into this real quick. In cross country, your top five runners score. Okay, in a cross country meet, top five runners score. So I wrote a storyline around all one storyline around each of the top five runners. So for example, this movie has six stories in it. It's the new coach taking over the team, how she trains them, how she interacts with them, and then the number one runner, one of her former best. Her former, like, best friend has started smoking weed. Now, this is high school story. And so their relationship is broken because of that. And the runner wants to reach out to her old friend. So the issue is, how do you deal with that? How do you try to reach somebody that's fallen into an addiction? Charles mentioned pornography a little bit ago. That's a tough one to deal with. So that's that storyline. Second storyline was one of the girls has a low self-image of herself. And everybody's better than her, and so she feels... she's just got a low self-image. How would you try to deal with that? The third storyline has to do with one of the girls. Her mother just rides her constantly, so hard on her. She's just too hard. It's like, can't do anything. Nothing's good enough. The number four runner comes out of a divorced home, but she never sees her father. So she feels pain of that because she only sees him two or three times a year. And the number five storyline is, the girl's 15 in the script, and this boy's asking her out, but her father doesn't want her to date yet, so she's caught in that little web. So I tried to deal with realistic things that teens are going through with realistic answers, no plastic Christianity, not something cliche-ish. I was very careful in, hey, how are we going to address these stories? What are realistic answers? And so... that's what I think, like a youth pastor takes his group to this film or a coach takes their team to this film. There's a lot of different topics that we're hitting within this film that for discussion that they can talk about. And then there's two principles for parenting in the film that we did and then the one for coaching. So to me, there's a lot to this. In trying to write the script, you're trying to write something that's entertaining. You're trying to write something that's also got some substance to it. And then the whole movie is based on an ending. And let me just say this. When I shot this film, it's funny. We shot this film. Nobody on the set knew how it ended except one person. And the one person was the girl that played, the young lady that played the coach knew how to end it. And the reason why she had to know how it ended, because it affected how she played a previous scene.
Oh.
So we shot the end of this movie on September 5th, 2015, was the day I was shooting the ending. And then on September 4th, after we shot that day, I got the five actresses together that were going to be involved with the end. I said, okay, girls, how does this end? Because they were guessing throughout the movie, but none of them were even close. Then I gave them the script. It surprised him. It caught him off guard. And I said, girls, the fact that you couldn't figure it out, I don't think the audience will either. So this movie's based on an ending. It has a twist ending to it that you hope has a positive effect. So that's what I'm excited about, what we got coming. So I'm just kind of giving you an overview of a film. It's called Remember the Goal. It's coming August 26th, theaters only, no DVD. It's coming theaters only. We're planning to do theaters for 2 years. We're opening in 10 states from Texas to North Carolina and the Southeast. And then next fall, we're planning to play other states. It's not an easy thing to put movies in theaters, but we're trying. So there's an overview for you.
Dave, I have a question. When you said for each girl, there was a, they each had a history. And as you dealt with that, did you deal with it from your own experience, or did you have to go get help, or maybe even ask your brother Rich, hey, I've not had that experience. How are we going to write this one appropriately?
Then I'll give you an idea. Here's how this came about, and then I'll answer that. I read the Bible in the morning. I'm reading Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 is the story where Jesus comes to a house. A 12-year-old girl had died. Mm-hmm. People are outside weeping. And he says, hey, the maid's not dead, she's asleep. And it says they laughed him to scorn. Jesus walks in the house, and he raises the little girl from the dead. It's a story that a lot of people have read in the Bible. I'm reading that one day, and an idea pops in my mind. What an ending for a Christian, for a cross-country movie. I pick up the phone, and I said, Rich, I call my brother, I said, Rich, listen to this ending for a cross-country movie. I said, I have got to do this. 5 years later, I start shooting the film. Took a while to shoot the script. So the movie was based on that ending, based on that verse, and that doesn't happen for me like that. In other words, I don't ever sit down with a blank sheet of paper to think of an idea. That has never worked like that. For me, an idea comes and you start to develop it. That's the first time I ever got an idea from reading a Bible verse. Now think about that. You're thinking, wait a minute, this guy's reading this story where Jesus raises somebody from the dead and gets an idea for a cross-country movie? How in the world is that related? Well, when you see the film, you will see that this is what caught the girls off guard, because they wondered the same thing. And, I tried to keep anticipation with these girls. First of all, I had wonderful talent, all from Nashville, Tennessee. Couldn't have asked for better girls to work with. The young lady that played the coach, her name is Allie Sutton Heathcote. Terrific job for me in this film. Terrific as the coach, role model. I feel like that she'll influence a lot of people toward the Lord. It comes across very real, the way she plays the character. This is not just goody two-shoes. This is a girl with some integrity and some guts. She played it really, really well. I'm very pleased with the talent level that I found here in Nashville. So that's the first thing. That's how this idea came about. And as I started writing the story, I wanted to have the coach help those five runners. My idea was, hey, let me come up with a storyline for each of the five runners, but the coach has a hand in helping resolve those issues. That was the challenge, how to just weave all that. But it was just ideas that came to mind. My son and daughter, when they went to high school, my son comes home one day and says, hey, weed is a huge problem at this school. This is a public school. And so I knew that that was an issue to try to deal with. And so if you've got somebody that's smoking weed or smoking cigarettes or drinking, how would you try to help them? You can say, don't do that, and that's one thing. But how can you really try to help that person? So I had an idea. I said, you know what, let me see if I can weave this. So one of the storylines is probably five scenes or so where it's, to develop it. And so these storylines that I just mentioned to you, they're just ideas that I came up with, and it wasn't really from personal experience. It was just maybe, I always think this, anything good comes from the Lord. In fact, the two storylines that I'm most proud of, if I can say that, is the one, how we resolve the one with weed, and how we resolve the one with self-worth. Because I felt like that we did it in a very realistic way, that if a person just listens to see how that resolves, they have to conclude I'm incredibly valuable. I mean, God, everybody is very valuable in God's eyes, as we know, everybody in this world. So, you know, I don't want to give away the ending or how we did it, but I'm high on this. I'm high on the message for it. Felt like it came together. The actors did a really good job for me in playing these out. So it's just a challenge to get the word out, gentlemen. It's the church today is being bombarded with all these films. In fact, it's kind of funny. We're really not even marketing the film to the church. Where our marketing is toward runners, coaches, women with, you know, daughters, moms, soccer moms, as they say. I mean, obviously, I'd love to get pastors and youth pastors involved. I think it's perfect for a youth pastor because he's going to have a lot to talk about with his kids. But getting the message to them has been very difficult. It's almost so, it's been so frustrating because really Christians need to support Christ-centered events. And I see all these films that are doing big box office numbers with no message for Christ and no gospel, and I'm shaking my head because the devil's not against those films. So I feel like, and can I give you guys a really good example of something that I learned? The
yes.
devil is really not, he's not against Jesus. Here, watch this little story. There was a film that came out last fall called Woodlawn. It has to do with football. Are you familiar with this film at all?
I'm not.
No, have you heard of it? Okay. No. This film came to theaters, 1,500 theaters. It was about the Jesus movement in the early 70s. It's a very well-produced film. Had a lot of endorsements, evangelical. This is evangelical, a lot of endorsements. So it came out on October 16th, and I did not see a pre-screening on this, and so I was going to go see it on Sunday, and I'm starting to read reviews on this movie. And remember, this is a Christian film, a lot of Jesus, and it got an 89% rating on Rotten Tomatoes and a very good review on Variety magazine and a very good review on The Hollywood Reporter, and I'm scratching my head and say, wait a minute, something's not right here, because Jesus said, if you love me, the world will hate you. Who's ever the friend of the world, the enemy of God. So there's a definite distinction to me that Jesus and the world are 180 degrees apart. So how is it that the world is recognizing this Christian film and giving it praise? Then I went to see the film and I figured it out. I went to see Woodlawn, and Woodlawn mentions Jesus a lot. A lot. You'll hear his name many times in that film. But what's not presented is the gospel. And that's what the devil really hates. The gospel. That's the offense. The offense is the cross of Christ. I saw it with my own eyes. Hollywood does not embrace the cross of Christ. They hate the cross of Christ. Satan hates the cross of Christ. Hey, talk about Jesus all you want. Just don't tell somebody that they need Christ in their life, that he died for their sins, that he was buried, that he rose again. That's the gospel. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15. Don't say the gospel. And I made sure the gospel was in Remember the Goal. I wanted to put the gospel in Remember the Goal, and I wanted to make it come where it came in a proper place in Remember the Goal. So, and it's not forced, and it's not manipulated, and it's not trying to talk anybody into anything, but it is presenting the truth about Christ. So that was the lesson. I'm not knocking Woodlawn. It's an observation I made, because so after I saw Woodlawn, after I saw it, I got my six main actors together, the coach and the main five runners. We met, and I warned them to be prepared for hate. I said, you'll get ripped to shreds because we put the gospel in the film. And you gentlemen being Christians, I'm sure you agree, the Bible, Jesus is very clear, if you love me, the world will hate you. So we dealt with that a little bit, too. We dealt with that a little bit in our film, that message that I'm sharing.
Well, it's also interesting to me, you know, it's interesting to me that we have, you know, the stereotype that the Christians are the one that, you know, we're dominating women and we're terrible and there's no place for a woman. And here you've got a film coming out that is very strong, very passionate. Your six main lead characters are all young women. And the secular media doesn't have a word to say.
The top eight are women. Yeah, top eight are women in the film.
Yes. So where is the media saying, hey, look, here's a great movie coming out. Women's the strong characters. They're the main leads. Not a word being said. You know, where's the double standard?
Because the secular media is not going to report something. They're just not going to help promote the gospel. And the sad part, Charles, is hard to get the church to promote it, too. That's what's hard, the church at large. Look, I'm thankful for pastors like yourself who love Christ, love the Word, love the gospel, and want to proclaim it. It's kind of like this. I have a website, christianfilms.com. I distribute our films on there, plus the other films that have a message for Christ. If a movie's got a message for Christ, I want it. I get behind it. I try to push it. That's what I'm looking for. It doesn't have to be a movie I made. If a guy's made a good, one of my favorite movies on our website is a movie called Behind the Sun about a Muslim coming to Christ. Behind the Sun is about a Muslim coming to Christ.
Okay.
It's a very convicting film, powerful film. It's one of my all-time favorite films. And I'm not a Hollywood guy at all. I don't watch the Hollywood films. I don't go to them. I had that conviction years ago, back in 1987, that it was wrong, that Hollywood was cursing the name of Christ. So I just made an agreement with God. I'm not going to films that curse the name of Christ. If you make that decision, you'll eliminate almost everything coming out of Hollywood.
Right.
But see, I'm so removed from all that. None of this is legalism for me. I want to chase the Lord, the things of the Lord, spiritual things. That's what really counts. Eternity. That's where I live. Every day, it's like I'm breathing this. We're trying to reach people. Films are a great medium to reach people. It is a battle out there. The media is so liberal and so corrupt and so ungodly. There's a real battle out there. We need more righteous people in it and trying to stand. You know, like I appreciate a lot of things Franklin Graham. He's not afraid to stand. He's not afraid to say things. He's got a platform.
Right.
We need more guys like that. And there are some good Bible teachers out there, as you know. But I just know this, that if a person sees a movie and it's got the name Dave Cristiano on there, just know this is going to have a message for Christ. That's what I want to be known for, right there. This guy's going to put a message for Christ in there. And my brother Rich, that's what we're about. And that we've been doing this 31 years. There's no deviation. There's no desire to go to Hollywood and make a family film. The desire is to continue to do these films for as long as I can. It's not easy. In fact, this is the hardest we think it's ever been. The industry's really changed. Just like iTunes changed the music industry, Netflix has changed the movie industry. Netflix is good for the consumer, not for the producer.
Dave,
I saw this on the internet. I was attending Arkansas State University. Thought I'd give your alma mater a plug there. And I met a girl, says Dave. We started dating, and very early in our relationship, she asked me if I had ever asked Jesus Christ into my life. Good for her. She told me the gospel, that Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. At the time, I had no idea what she was talking about. She gave me a little book entitled, So What's the Difference? This book showed me the different religions of the world and compared them to the Bible. I saw how important the spiritual aspect of life was and began to check into things. I became a Christian in March of 1979 at the age of 22 and received Jesus Christ into my life as Lord and Savior. This changed the whole direction of my life. Tell us about that.
Yeah, and you're reading, and I want to say, and you're reading that from the website, right? I have a message called Hollywood Rules, and I go to churches and I talk about Hollywood, which is the basis of Power of the Air, and I end with this story. A lot of people, let me think of this, okay? A lot of people feel insignificant in life, and they think celebrities have it made. A lot of people think like that. I wish I was a celebrity. I wish I was famous. I wish I was, you know, money. They got fame and fortune and attention. So in my little message, I take a look at it. So let's take a look at some of these celebrities. And so I go through a whole list of them. Mm-hmm. And I could go through them now with you, but the idea is to try to show, just give you an example. Judy Garland, who played Dorothy on The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
In her lifetime, had five marriages, died of a drug overdose at the age of 47. Now, I don't say that to shame her.
Okay.
But that's the result. And then I go, Elizabeth Taylor, and get into some music people, and Michael Jackson, and Elvis Presley. They all ended self-destruction, all of them. Every one of the people I named. And again, I qualify, this is not to shame any of these people. These are beloved entertainers, but they all self-destruct. You don't have Christ as your authority. That's the path you're on. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. the flip side of that is people feel insignificant. I'm a nobody. So I said, let me tell you a story about a nobody, an insignificant girl in the state of Arkansas. At Arkansas State, at the beginning of the year, they had a street dance out in the middle of the campus, and all the guys came out to meet the girls, and all the girls came out to meet the guys. And there was a group of three or four girls talking to three or four guys, and this one girl talked to this one guy for about 25 minutes. 6 months goes by, that guy's sitting in the library at Arkansas State University reading a magazine, and he looks up, and around the magazine rack comes this girl. She's looking for a magazine. He looks up at her. She looks up at him. They remember each other from the street dance. They talk for an hour right there. A week later, the guy thinks about the girl. He goes over to the dorm room, calls her up. She comes down in the lobby. They sit in the lobby of the dorm. They talk for another hour or so. And a few days later, he visits her again. And then they get together for a third time. And on that third time, out of the blue, the girl says, hey, have you ever asked Jesus Christ in your life for the forgiveness of your sins so when you die, you go to heaven? And the guy says, what are you talking about? I've never heard this before. And so the girl shares with him the gospel. And the guy prays. He just believes her, believes the gospel, says a prayer to receive Christ. Now remember, I'm talking about an insignificant girl in the state of Arkansas. So what's the point of this? And the point I conclude is this. The girl was talking to me. I then told my brother Rich. He got saved. Since that time, we've produced 16 movies and 64 episodes of the TV series, all with a message for Christ. As a result of that witness of that insignificant girl from the state of Arkansas, who in reality to us is a very significant person.
Wow.
And then my conclusion is this. If you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're the most significant person on the face of the earth, because there's no message more valuable than telling somebody the gospel. And the beauty of this story is this. I'm 22 and a half years old when this girl shares the gospel with me. I have never heard the gospel. I'm not seeking God. I've never read the Bible in my life. I'm not even looking. And it shows you the power of the gospel. She didn't talk me into anything. She just shared it. She just told me out of her heart. And my family, at first when I became a Christian, they said, well, when he breaks up with her, he'll get out of this religion thing. We made it for over 2 years. And it's funny, we didn't really break up. She had an opportunity to go overseas to travel with a group called Up With People, so we kind of went our separate ways and never got back together. But I didn't leave Christ because, first of all, I'm in him, he's in me. There's no other place to go.
Wow.
When you truly know Christ, you're going to follow Christ. It's not easy, as you
Amen.
Know. There's no. Yeah. I mean, Jesus is very real. People have not tapped into him. They've not given him the time. They don't give enough attention to the Word of God. They're too distracted by Hollywood and the movies and TV and entertainment. I tell youth pastors, and I talk to them, I said, your number one enemy is a cell phone in the hands of your teens. Put them down. It really is. The cell phone has become God for teenagers. Teenagers, to me, are very hard to read. So, appreciate you sharing that story. That so thankful to that girl that she shared.
Well, I'm a little concerned about what you just said, because now for the rest of the night, I'm going to be singing Up, Up With People. You meet them wherever you go. You remember that song?
Is that it? Is that it?
Yeah, wow. She traveled with them for a year. Then she got a job as a nanny over in Europe. So for 2 years, we were kind of apart, and just it didn't. But always friends. There was never any bad blood or anything. It wasn't a breakup like that.
Yeah.
So it's like the Lord brought her into my life to lead. He used her to share the gospel and allowed
Great
me to believe
story.
It.
Well, there's so many contradictions that we experience. So many contradictions we experience within the church, which, first of all, people say the church isn't working. No, we haven't tried it. If you look at what the church is supposed to be in Scripture, you realize our shortcomings is not in the plan. It's in our actually following what the Bible says to do. And then you say, everybody will say we believe in prayer, but look at how many people come out Sunday morning and then see the handful that come out to pray. And so, No, we don't believe in prayer until we get serious about it. That's when we start. When we really pray, that's when I believe we're serious about prayer. And it happens as well when it comes to evangelism. We say we believe that, you know, Christ is the only way, that there's a literal heaven, a literal hell. But how many people are passing out tracts, knocking doors, asking that simple question, has there ever been a time where you accepted Jesus Christ? And if we're not doing that, then we're not believing what we say we believe. That's the reality.
Yeah. Yeah, and this, and it comes back to this, how real is Jesus to you, Charles and Jim and, and myself? He's very real to me, and that's why I do what I do. I'm just responding to the realism that he is in me. I want him to be more real, and as God continues to bring trials my way to chip away itself so that more of him can come through. You know, something we put in the movie is this. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord that he may lift you up. He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He may exalt you in due time. Well, by nature, a person's not going to humble themselves. So God allows trials to come into your life, and you're saying, Lord, what are you doing? He goes, hey, I'm just trying to raise you up. I got to get you down first. So yeah. I just see life as a constant chipping away of self. Jesus told us, he said, look, deny self. Follow me. He told us where the main, he really told us where the main problem was. So there's, it's not easy, but it's the only road. Mm-hmm. There's no other road, gentlemen. This is the road, the narrow road. It's the only way to go. Christ is the only way to heaven. I got a good friend of mine who drives for a truck in North Carolina. This is my best buddy. And he tries to witness to people. And here's the question he asks. He's delivering freight, and he makes quite a few stops. And, you know, usually you'll talk for a little bit. He'll look for an opportunity. And if somebody even... if he was to come to where you guys are at and you might mention the Lord or something, he goes, hey, can I ask you two guys a question? Is Jesus Christ the only way to heaven? That's the question he asked. That's a very good question to ask somebody. And just watch their response. That's what he uses to share with people. Because if there's any hesitation, he knows something's wrong. Because Christ is the only way to heaven, and so I always tell people, either he is or isn't. There's no middle ground here. Either he is or he isn't.
Exactly.
So, so Dave, this this book that changed your life. So, what's the difference? Do you still recommend that? It's by Fritz Ridenour.
Yeah, I believe he's deceased. What it was a simple book that just laid out what the Bible said about something. It listed Catholicism, Mormonism, Hinduism, Buddhism, all those isms. And I was raised Catholic. I was never heard the gospel, but I was raised Catholic. And it's God just let the light bulb go on. First of all, I believe that Christ was in my life at that time when I was reading the book, and that's why the light bulb went on. And I could clearly see that Catholicism didn't line up with the Bible in a number of issues. Now, even though I was Catholic, I always believed the Bible was the Word of God, but I never read the Bible. I never, ever read it. I'd never read the Bible. And so the girl, you know, said, hey, you need to get a Bible, and she pointed me in the right direction. And I just can't get enough. I'm huge on reading the Bible and listening to the Bible. I'm not huge on listening. In other words, I'm going to listen to the Bible before I would listen to a sermon. Not nothing against our pastor friends here, but in other words, the Bible. I have it. You know, I've probably listened to Matthew at least 100 times. The Gospel of Matthew at least 100 times.
That's wonderful.
First on cassette, now CD. And I'm not saying that to boast, but I'm telling you right now, if you listen to Matthew 100 times, God's going to speak to you. The Word of God is very powerful. And God, in Scripture, interprets Scripture. And just give God a chance. Shut off the world. I did a two-month media fast back in 1987 that changed my life. When I got convicted, it was in September of 1987, I got convicted about the movies that curse the name of Christ. So I got rid of my TV, and I said, I'm not going to go to any movies, I'm not going to watch any TV, I'm not going to read the newspaper, I'm not going to listen to any music, I'm not going to listen to the radio. I completely cut off the voice of the media for 2 months. I said, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to fellowship with other Christians, I'm going to pray, I'm going to attend church. I did it for 2 months. My mind cleared up so much, it totally transformed my life. I fasted from the media and turned to God. I know that most people, when they fast, they think foods. I did a media fast. It transformed my life, and I've never gone back. The last time I saw a Hollywood film in the movie theater was in September of 1987. I'm not a film guy. I'm in the film business. I could go the rest of my life and never see another film. I'd be fine. I got so removed from it and so toward Christ and the Bible, I would never go back to the world because I'm so far. I want to keep going the direction I'm going toward the Lord, toward Christ. The Bible says in the presence of God is fullness of joy. So either it is or it isn't. In the presence of God is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11, that's really what everybody wants. They want joy. Because, you know, you can have joy in a bad situation. But happiness is usually circumstantial, but joy is not. So, I mean, I'm excited about the Lord. I'm excited about films. Our website is 5and2pictures.com. That's spelled out, 5and2pictures.com. A person can watch the movie trailer for Remember the Goal. It is an inspirational film. It has an upending to it, but not a plastic ending, not a wrong ending, but it has an upending to it. So a lot of people walking out of the theater up.
Dave, I remember asking a year or so ago your brother Rich this question, so I'll ask you also. Has it been your experience as a result of doing Christian films that some of the actors that you hire actually have come to a saving knowledge of Christ?
Well, here's all I can say. I want to think that it's had a positive effect on people.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're around, like when I did 7th Street Theater, I worked with some of those actors for 5 years. We were over 200 days on the set together. Wonderful crew. Wonderful yeah. group of people. Not saying everybody was a true believer in Christ. Same thing with our films. My brother and I will always try to cast the best talent. I don't ask a guy, I don't require that a person has to be a Christian. My hope is that everybody comes to Christ. We are first and foremost evangelists, Rich and I. We think evangelism first and foremost. So if a guy can act and he's the best for the role, I'm gonna bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
And I want, you know, I want him to hear truth. You know, people are saying lines. Now, generally, we'll usually cast a Christian portraying a Christian because they understand what they're saying.
Yeah.
You know, they can handle, I don't want to say the Christian lingo, but they can handle it and understand the sense of it and the tense of it and the heart of it. Like, I was very pleased in the gospel presentation in Remember the Goal. The coach is the one that shares it. And the day we shot it, she was a Christian. She was really looking forward to doing it. She was unashamed. She handled it beautifully. I am very pleased with her presentation of how she did this. But she had the right heart in doing it. It made a huge difference for me that day. It's important. So whether or not somebody's, I don't know if anybody's gotten, I would say, saved on a set, but I know that we've had some positive things happen. You're hearing the word of the Lord. You're hearing the word of Christ. You're around a Christian environment. I mean, I've never had a problem in any of my sets, neither has my brother. We've never had any issues at all. Most of the time, you have people, they want to be there. They, you know, actors want to act. You know, they love to act. I've never had an actor complain to me, hey, I don't want to do this again. They love to act, you know, and yeah. they know how hard, the actors know how hard it is to get the job.
Well, Charles and I have always said we of course, have a face for radio, so that's our calling.
Sad but true. Dave, yes. Let me ask you something. The movie also has a great graphic, and in the bottom right corner of the graphic, there is a scripture reference in there. Would you talk a little bit about that verse and the power of
the Bible? Yeah, the movie is based on, there's a verse in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10:31, says, whatsoever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, think about that for a second. That verse will totally transform anybody's life if they just apply it. Whatever I eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. So we added in there, the coach tells the runners, whatever you eat or drink or run, do all to the glory of God. That takes the focus off self, puts it on the one who it deserves to be on. That's the idea with the film. So it's kind of like this. Whatever I watch, whatever I listen to, whatever I do, let me try to glorify God what I'm doing. And I'm telling you right now, that changes everything you do, watch, say. It really changes you. If a teenager can catch wind of that, that is the theme of this film. And throughout the film, we refer to it as 1031, 1031. Mm-hmm. By the end of the movie, teenagers, I want to hope that cross-country teams, before they start to meet, lots of times a cross-country team, before they start to meet, will get together, they'll say a little prayer, they'll have some little you know, school little powwow or something. What I'm hoping schools will go 10:31, because that's what we did in our film with these girls, saying, "Hey, we're running to glorify God. It doesn't mean you're going to win, but you're going to honor God with what you're doing. You want to acknowledge God. He's here. He's given you the breath to do this. Everything we have is from the Lord." One of my all-time favorite verses in the Bible is 1 Corinthians 4:7, which says, "What do you have that you haven't received?" And the answer is absolutely nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Everything I have is from the Lord. Everything. So that's kind of the idea here. So I'm happy about the 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's not just a tactic. The theme of that movie is based on that verse, and we try to give it practical application. And so I'm excited about that, because I hope that teams will catch on to this.
You know, Dave, you just said this, so there are multiple life lessons, you say, for teens, parents, and coaches. Will you touch on that a moment, the life lesson for a teen or a parent or a coach?
For a parent, okay. One of the lessons we're trying to do for parents is, how much of a priority are your children?
Mm-hmm.
That was one of them. And how do you address your children? I don't want to give away how we dealt with that. Those are the two things that I dealt with parents. And the thing about coaching is demeanor, how coaches demeanor, where if I was a coach, I'd want to be a gentleman. I'd want to, you know, when I'm on my set, I don't yell and scream. I don't raise my voice. There's no need. When you're directing a film, and a lot of times people have directors, these guys are tyrants and stuff. I'm a real focused person on the set. I know what I got to get done that day. You're really zoned in on it. There's no need. There's no need for anger. You want to be a gentleman. You want to be a gentleman that's a leader. What do we need in the White House? We need a gentleman who's a leader. We need a Christian man, first of all, there.
Right.
Christian. A real Christian man. A real Christian that believes the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. Abortion is wrong. Homosexuality is a sin. And I understand people struggle with that. I understand that. Totally understand that. But it is a sin, according to the Scripture. You got a problem. You got a problem with the Bible. You ain't got a problem with me or you guys. We're just looking at what the Bible says. And I realize that Satan will use anything to get somebody off course. So, and the thing with the life lessons for the teens is, if you're a 15-year-old girl and a 16-year-old boy is asking you out, and you like him, he likes you, but your dad doesn't want you to date, what are you going to do? You're going to obey your dad or date the boy on the side? And there's a lesson there. So that's one we dealt with. And I tried to deal with it a little differently. Instead of, you know, because telling a kid not to do something, it doesn't go very far.
Right.
Give them and show them a perspective, and you might get a better result. You know, I can give you I didn't deal with purity in this movie, but I've dealt with purity a lot in the past. If a person will look ahead, they might think that purity is not so old-fashioned after all. I could tell. I don't know if we have the time, but I have a little story about purity. Maybe another broadcast, I guess.
Well, we have about 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Well, here's the story. Watch, okay? I have a movie called Pamela's Prayer. And Pamela's Prayer is the story of a girl. Her mother dies the day she's born. Her father raises her a very high standard of purity before marriage. He wants her to wait until her wedding day before she ever kisses a guy, and wants her to marry a guy who did the same thing. Now, get what I just told you. He wants her to wait until her wedding day before she ever kisses a guy, and wants her to marry a guy who did the same thing that waited. And everybody says, that is so unrealistic. Is it really? So, this movie, Pamela's Prayer, came out in 1998. In about 2003, I'm sitting in my office. I get a phone call from a youth pastor in Chicago. He goes, "Do you have a return policy?" I said, "No, we don't. What's the problem?" He goes, "Well, we got this movie, Pamela's Prayer, and I watched it, and I let a couple parents watch it. This is so unrealistic. I can't show this to my kids. I want to send it back." I said, no, man. You got to show it to your kids. Let them see that film." He goes, "Look, man, I'm in Chicago. I've got an MTV generation of kids. They're going to mock this film. They're going to laugh at this film. They're going to mock me. I want to send it back." I said, no. You need to show them that movie. Now, remember the standard of the film that I told you. So I asked the youth pastor, I said, "Look, if you were to show that film, is there somebody in that youth group that would mock it the most?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "What's his name?" He goes, "Mike." I said, "Let me talk to Mike then." He goes, "Look, man, Mike's not here.
I'm in my office. I just want to send a movie back. I said, youth pastor, would you pretend to be Mike? He goes, what? I said, just pretend to be Mike for me. He goes, all right. I said, Mike, it's your wedding day. And coming down the aisle is the love of your life. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. You cannot wait to be with her. What would you prefer, Mike, that she had been with five other guys before you or none? What would you prefer, Mike? So the youth pastor says, none. And I said, okay, second question, one more question. Mike, it's your wedding day, and coming down the aisle, here she is, absolute love of your life. You're so excited. You're going to be married to her for life. What would you prefer, that she had kissed 25 other guys before you or none? What would you prefer, Mike? So the youth pastor says, none. I said, isn't that something, youth pastor? Mike just endorsed the message of Pamela's prayer, why don't you show the movie? See,
excellent.
Everybody's going to choose the highest standard of purity if you could. Everybody. Anybody doesn't choose that level is lying. They're just lying to you. People say, oh, it doesn't bother me that my wife kissed somebody. You're lying. You're lying or you got no heart. See, God's standards of purity and holiness are wonderful and got everybody's best interests at heart. And the guy kept the film. He didn't send it back. He kept the movie. And what I told him, I said, look, you've got a greater fear of those kids than you do of God. That needs to reverse. Have a greater fear of God and holiness and purity and take the blows that come with showing Pamela's prayer.
Mm.
So there you go.
Powerful. Powerful.
Dave, let me jump in also, because not only is Pamela's Prayer one tremendous film, but I also remind people from the 7th Street Theater series, the episode One Lucky Lady. Very similar, equally powerful.
Yeah, it's that story. That's how that came about. I did One Lucky Lady based on that conversation with that youth pastor. I'm on the phone with that youth pastor, and this stuff came to mind. I'm talking to him, and I reasoned what I just reasoned to you, and I did the episode One Lucky Lady. It's based on that. Again, you can't. It's like this: anything good is from the Lord, and God's word is pure and it's right, and I love the word of God. It's just right. Look, Go ahead. I was going to say, if we're going to play basketball and I'm going to play against a first grader and Michael Jordan's on my team, I'm not going to lose. You're not going to lose with God. You're not going to lose with God. You're not going to lose with Christ. You are not going to lose. Why not be in a winning team?
Right.
You don't lose with the Bible. I'm not saying it's easy. You take some blows living in this world. They'll mock you. So what?
Wow.
Jesus told us you'd be blessed. You're blessed. If they're not mocking you, something's wrong. That means you're too much like the world. They're not seeing Christ. So.
That is so true.
You're getting me pumped up now, okay?
Well, very good. We'll definitely need to have you come back and keep you in that condition.
We have been blessed for this past hour to have Dave Cristiano with us, and Jim Simmons, our co-host, has jumped in there from time to time. I strongly encourage you to be ready to see this film, to share it with others, to make people aware of it, get into the theater, find out about it, and make sure it's coming to your area. This is an important message, and you will be entertained, you will be blessed, but most importantly, Christ will be edified. So I thank you all for joining us tonight, and I encourage you to continue to spread the word, and thank you for being a part tonight of Ask the Pastor Now.
Thank you for joining us on Ask the Pastor. If you have a question or a comment for the program, just email us at question@askthepastornow.com. We will try to respond to you either by email or answer your question on air during a future broadcast. Again, that email address is question@askthepastornow.com. Now, on behalf of Jim Simmons, Charles Lyons, and the whole Ask the Pastor team, we invite you to explore our website for great resources. You can also hear previous broadcasts as archives at askthepastornow.com. So, until next time, read, study, pray, and prepare for your life of faith and freedom.